right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Lawyer to Lawyer Network, the Salt Smoglusi Bendeski Show. We've got a fantastic broadcast for you. We have Larry Bendeski, the managing partner here at the firm. Welcome, Larry.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. And, of course, Bob Zimmerman. How are you, sir?
Joe, it's nice to be with you.
Partner here at Salt Smoglusi and Bendeski. Gentlemen, before I ask you to introduce yourselves or reintroduce yourselves, I wanted, and we talked about this before we came in, Joe Krause always says that radio is theater of the mind. And if there ever was that situation, it's right now as we sit in the incredible offices of Salt Smoglusi Bendeski. Now, I said, Bob, you and I have done a show here at the offices about a month or so ago, that White House was, you know, they used to call it, you know, such a big advantage in negotiations in regards to a foreign heads of state, bringing them in. Well, here we are on the 52nd story floor of One Liberty Place. I can't think of a better analogy there. We talked about it a little bit. Larry, talk about it.
Yeah, listen, though, we think the marquee building in the city of Philadelphia, I think the design of the building itself is spectacular. It's beautifully run. We have put a lot into the design of our floor, the way the floor looks. We do think it's a huge advantage for us when defense lawyers come in, when adjusters for insurance companies come in, when defendants come in. It might be intimidating. It certainly compels them to respect what we've done just looking at the office.
It exudes success. And the first impressions you get are, wow. Now, I, as an iron worker for many years, know the skyline from this point of view. What's amazing about this building, and it's the history is incredible. Yep. So it is the marquee building, no question. But it's the first building that went over Billy Penn's hat.
Right.
I remember the day I was working on Bell Atlantic Tower when all of our, you know, when they did the party for it. It was so usually do a top it off party, as you know, because you guys have represented a lot of, construction workers and iron workers.
A lot of iron workers.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that. That day was a historic day in the city of Philadelphia, if there ever was one. So it's a pleasure, to be, here at the offices of Salt Smoglusi and Bendeski. Bob Zimmerman, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Again, thanks for having us, and we're really excited to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. What I'd like to do as we start off, Larry, if you would tell listeners, obviously, a little bit about yourself, but also the firm.
Sure. I've been, after law school, I clerked for a judge for 2 years. And this is the place that I've been my entire career. We believe in continuity here. We believe in treating our people, our clients, and our employees well. And we want continuity. We want people to be here. We handle personal injury cases, but a lot of catastrophic injury cases. We talked about the iron workers. We've represented a lot of iron workers. We handle probably more construction accident cases than any law firm in America, probably any law firm in the world. And we're proud of what we've done. We're proud of being able to represent a family whose husband has died on a construction site, or somebody who has been seriously injured on a construction site or in an industrial setting, and making sure that they're financially taken care of.
No question about it. And Bob, you have talked about, obviously, your path, but if you would remind our listeners.
Sure. So I grew up in Northeast Philadelphia, went to high school here and went to college in the state and went to law school in the area. And, similar to Larry, I have been here my entire career. In law school, I did one summer working for a great firm who handled defense work. They did a lot of insurance defense, and they did a lot of cases for, some large corporations. And while I learned a lot there, the thing I learned the most is I connected with the injured person and the victim and the people who, you know, have been through the worst day and the worst thing that they've ever experienced in their life. So I came over here during my second summer of law school, and I've been here ever since. And, you know, as Larry said, we have a lot of people who've been here for a long time. There's a lot of continuity. You know, people tend to stay here and make a home here because, number one, they learn a lot from excellent lawyers like Larry. And number two, you know, we have the privilege and honor of representing the most catastrophically injured Philadelphians and those throughout the Commonwealth.
It's interesting because when you talk about catastrophic injuries and the record you have here, I mean, it's second to none. I know it personally because my father used to send the families in our, and there are no, unfortunately, in our business, in the ironworking business, and I kid you not, I mean, I know the skyline from where we're sitting, right? Okay, I started, I think, I worked on Liberty One for a couple days, but it was just, I came out of the hall briefly for it, and it was in the basement, but Liberty Two, I started actually in the pyramid at the top, mm-hmm. So on the 60th floor, okay? So that's what you do when you're an ironworker. But unfortunately, you know, there are catastrophic injuries, and my father always used to send the families to you guys because he knew he wasn't in it for, in other words, it wasn't a political decision for him. You know, the catastrophic injuries on unfortunate deaths. When you're talking about iron workers and a lot of the building trades, because I know you handle all of them, you know, this is the place that they want to be represented because of the success. But I'm going
to
bring.
But your dad felt a responsibility to take care of his Uden brethren, and we take that responsibility very seriously. When somebody like your dad sends somebody he knows and loves and knows their family
in the worst situations imaginable,
correct. And we take that responsibility personally. We take it very seriously.
And so we had your partner, Bob Mongoluzzi, on one of the broadcasts, and he mentioned a case, and we've talked about this, one of your first big cases, Mike Whitlin.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mike.
The Tropicana garage collapse.
That's right. And Mike was my boss on the Frankfurt L. What an amazing guy. What a great guy for Cornell and Company. And so, you know, that hits close to home.
Yeah.
And when you're so right. My dad was not a very political guy. He wasn't trying to network. He was trying to get justice and the family put them in good hands. And so that always, when I think about, you know, the work, and we're going to talk about some of the really notable cases that you handle on a daily basis, but that particular case is one that hits home.
Yeah, I mean, Nancy Whitland is a wonderful person. Her family was devastated by the accident, as were, you know, there were 40 injuries in addition to the 4 deaths on that project.
And that was the collapse, for our listeners, that was the collapse of the Tropicana with the parking garage?
Correct.
And so Mike happened to be working in the elevator or the stair shaft?
Stairwell.
Yeah, it hits at home and but I'm obviously proud that you guys were able to seek justice and you know, at least make his family okay. And that's a fantastic thing. Let's talk about firm culture, because this firm it handles, of course, some of the most, it's where other firms send their cases, okay? And that's a big deal. When they know that, obviously, you know, it's a big situation, and they'll refer it over to you guys because and that's how you know when a firm's really good. Of course, the labor unions, but when other firms get cases, and I mean across the country.
Right.
Talk about the firm culture, Larry, and you know what you exude here to the attorneys that work here, to the partners, and even to the staff.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you're absolutely right. We get a lot of our cases are from other lawyers who might have a brother who was injured, or a cousin, or a friend, and they are seeking us out to represent somebody who means a lot to them, somebody that
sure.
is close to them. And as I said to you with regard to with regard to Nancy and all our other clients, we take that responsibility very seriously. We're acting on behalf of not only the client, but also the person who sends that client to us. But we've done our best over 30 years to hire people that care. And Bob was talking about connecting with people. We want to hire people, not just the lawyers, but everybody who works here, who understands what our clients are going through, who empathize with what our clients are going through, who connect with our client, who work hard on behalf of our clients, who are smart, who are going to do everything they have to do within the ethical bounds of the law to get our clients the compensation that they deserve under the law.
And interesting enough, as the managing partner and as a partner, Bob, you don't answer the phones. Somebody else answers. I mean, somebody's answering that phone at the front desk. You need to know that person or the team or the staff that's here exudes the same sensitivity, bedside manner that you do, that cares, because every time that phone rings, and Larry, you mentioned catastrophic injuries. I mean, you know, what that means, people, is a devastating injury. Somebody didn't just pull their back out. Although, you know, I'm not saying that's not a bad injury. Talk about that, Bob, in regards to having a team and a staff that exudes that same sensitivity for individuals that are calling up, okay, and their family may be in peril right now. There may be a devastating situation there, and you know, that comfort level and the culture to know that everybody here is on the same page.
Yeah, everybody has to be all in. And you know, we work in a team environment. So when we represent a client, it's not just Bob Zimmerman, it's not just Larry Bendesky, it's a team approach. And the team includes attorneys and staff. And everyone has to take accountability and control of the cases that they're handling. So, you know, from the attorney standpoint, most of us, I think all of us, we're competitive by nature. You know, we're fighters and we fight for our clients. And when we talk about our staff, they want the same thing that we want, which is to make sure, you know, this is the biggest financial impact to their lives. Many of our clients cannot work anymore. Many of our clients are family members of those who have been lost. So we take a great deal of responsibility, as do our team and staff, to make sure that our clients feel comfortable, that they know that they can pick up the phone and call us and contact us. And we give our cell phone numbers out to our clients. I mean, at the end of the day, they need to know that we are there for them whenever they need us.
And Larry, when that has to start at the beginning, when somebody, I used to hear a saying, you know, everybody wants to be the boss, but they don't really want to be the boss, you know, until they have that responsibility. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, people want to be an attorney here, but they don't really, at the HR point at the beginning, talk about how important that is to make sure that the people coming in here understand, okay, what qualities you're looking for, what attitude, qualities that you're looking for as as somebody to work, because once they get here, you know, they want you, there's expectations. Talk about that process at the beginning.
Right. It's the process in terms of hiring. We're looking for, people. We're, in terms of the lawyers, we're not necessarily looking for Ivy educated people. We're looking for smart people. We're looking for people that connect with people. We're looking for people that are, driven, as Bob said, driven and hungry and competitive, who are going to, when we have a trial, you're working 20 hours a day, you know, leading up to the trial and during the trial. I look for people, as Bob said, who are competitive, who want to do well, who want to win. I'll sometimes look for people that are athletes, whether it's in high school or college. I find that people that have been in team sports work well with others, are selfless, understand. Listen, young lawyers, they're going to receive constructive criticism. They have to be able to take it and understand it and develop and become better at it. And if you're an athlete, you've had coaches, and coaches are telling you, hey, do it this way, do it that way, and you got to just, you listen, and you improve as a result of that.
And I'll add to that. I mean, you know, we are all very competitive, and the great thing about the culture here is we're not competitive with each other. We're competitive for each other. You know, if my partner gets a great result, I'm as excited as he is, and we're as excited for the client as anyone. You know, so we do this for the clients, and we do it for each other, knowing that, you know, there is a competitive nature, and you know, that team environment that we bring, you know, really makes for a great culture.
And Joe, I'll just add, to follow up with what Bob said, you know, when we're about to try a case or we have a big deposition, it's all hands on deck. And as just to follow up with what Bob said, if it's a team that's handling a case or trying a case, every single lawyer offers his or her assistance. What can I do to help? What can I do? Because everybody is in this together.
What's interesting also is the sports analogy, performing, okay? You know, going through, I ran into my high school football coach about 5 years ago at a banquet, and my family was going through a difficult time, and I said to him, Coach, those 100-yard dashes that we did, they're coming in handy right about now.
Right.
And when somebody's and by the way, I'm sure there's plenty of attorneys that, well, you know, they're great at research, and that's what they want to do, and that's their strength, right? But as litigators and individuals that are going to be in the courtroom, I also, as I coached high school football, I would always say, as a performer, or really in anything, music, whatever it is, in law and your performance, there's two ways you can look at it. You can get out there and be afraid to make a mistake and be real careful and nervous, or you can get out there and say, you know what, look at me, this is I'm out here to hit it and get it and to win. And so that athletic experience and those intangibles, we're not all making it to the NBA or to the NFL, but those, I feel the same way. When, you know, the athletic quad is a great, great analogy, you know, to have individuals. And I'll tell you what, when you're hiring individuals and when you're bringing people on, those individuals that understand teamwork, that are not, you know.
All about themselves.
Well,
we don't want people that are about themselves. We're representing people that need our help,
right?
And we're doing it in a team, collaborative environment.
It's okay to ask questions and advice. I'm sure with the wealth of information in these offices and in these hallways must be unprecedented. So, having said that, one of the other things when I sit in these offices, and I know that individuals who get injured, okay, and you would think, as a layman, as a, you know, somebody who's just a regular person, you would think that when somebody gets injured, and some of these cases that I know that you guys have done that we're going to talk about, that the insurance company, and you know, the entity that, you know, gets the insurance, they get it for a reason. So you figure that after somebody gets injured, they're just going to, I mean, you know, not fight the family tooth and nail whose loved one just got killed, and it seems as obvious as the day is long, but they're billion-dollar corporations. Yeah. And when I sit here, and you know what this place exudes and what the professionals here at Saltz Mongoloosi and Bendesky exude is the ability to have the resources to fight back, okay? And that's why other attorneys, you know, send clients here, because when you're fighting these behemoth insurance companies that, you know, there is often, you know, we've heard the sayings, well, they're in the business of collecting premiums and making profits, not, you know, not giving out settlements. Okay, so they fight the, for lack of a better term, the death, to, you know, on some little person who cannot, a regular person who cannot represent themselves. How important is it to have the resources, number one, to be able to represent any client under any circumstance, number one? Number two, how important is it for the insurance company to know that and understand, you know what, they're going to go the distance no matter how long it takes?
You're absolutely right. We have cases against major automotive manufacturers, against industrial equipment manufacturers. We have cases in which those manufacturers and defendants are covered by insurance companies that are multi-billion dollar insurance companies who are ready to motion you to death, are ready to just delay and prevent our clients from seeking justice. Our clients need us in order to do it. And the resources we have, you're absolutely right, are essential. We are trial lawyers. We prepare every single case as if it's going to go to trial. We're going to spend whatever we got to spend to put the case together. We're going to hire the best experts in order to help us with the case. We're going to put as many lawyers and staff on that case as we need to put that case together. And we're going to get ready to go fight them in the courtroom. And only then, unfortunately, it's just a true aspect of the litigation system and of our society. They don't pay our clients until they see that we're ready to go. And if a client, unfortunately, has a lawyer that doesn't have those resources, isn't ready to do it, that client's not going to get the compensation that client deserves.
Yeah, and it's so important for people to understand that beforehand. It's really one of the benefits of these broadcasts, educating the public to understand that you only have one chance to do this. And as a layperson, if you're unfortunate enough to have a family member or, you know, yourself that gets in that situation, you don't have a second chance. And, you know, you have to pick the right legal representation. Bob, the experience, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but really in any situation, there's so many when it comes to representing clients. Talk about that, you know, that benefit and that luxury of having individuals like Larry, you know, right, you know, in a couple offices away, when you're in a situation where somebody's life or their livelihood or their future or their entire family is on the line, that wealth of information, you know, is at your fingertips. And also when it comes to settlements and negotiations, how important is that, and what type of luxury is it?
You know, I'm thinking right now about the NFL quarterback room. And you hear stories where there are some veterans who, you know, don't want to offer up their secrets, and they don't want to help the new guy succeed. And we've all heard those stories. Then you hear other quarterback rooms where the veteran takes someone under their wing and actually teaches them and shares the secrets and shares the secret sauce. And that's really what we do here. You know, when I was a first, second, third year lawyer, I was in the room with Larry Bendesky when Larry was taking his depositions. And I'm not afraid to admit it. Some of my best questions that I ask at depositions, I have stolen and copied right from Larry and some of the other attorneys here. So, you know, when you talk about the success of the lawyers, and it goes from top down. I mean, we have exceptional lawyers who are 30 years practicing, and we have exceptional lawyers who are 3, 4, 5 years practicing because they can learn the techniques that they can use to be successful.
It's interesting you make that analogy. Okay. I've always been, you know, partial to the, you know, surround yourself with good people. Obviously, you know, everybody work together and you know, rock and roll. Okay. You look at our friend Doug Peterson. When Doug came in, I thought his biggest asset, because everybody thought that it was, you know, but he was really good at surrounding himself with guys like Frank Reich and all those guys. Right. And next thing you know, we got a Super Bowl. Well, of course, Bill Belichick pulled that opportunity away from us when he pulled his guy off of Indianapolis. Next thing you know, Frank Reich is there.
Right.
And Doug is calling the plays on the sideline. And, you know, amongst a million other things. But that, you know, that surrounded himself with those talented people. And training them and allowing everybody to work and succeed was a big deal.
You talk about resources, and the size and scope of our firm, we now have attorneys who are so dedicated to certain issues and areas of the law. We have fabulous attorneys who handle insurance coverage issues, that all they do is identify insurance issues that may result in an injured victim having an opportunity to make a recovery or not. We have unbelievable attorneys who handle cases like sexual assault. and class action cases.
Yeah,
and
let the people know the specialties here.
Yeah, so, you know, we have many different teams that focus on different things. We have a team of class action attorneys. We have a team of mass tort attorneys. We have a team of medical negligence attorneys. We have a team of attorneys who handle primarily auto and premises liability cases. And then we have several teams, of which Larry and I are part, that handle catastrophic injury cases, whether it be construction, workplace, product liability, or other cases of that nature.
And that's, you know, that the personal injury is a pretty, you know, it's a wide scope. You know, of course, we're going to get into some of the cases you've handled. Before we do, because there are very notable cases, the duck boat cases, and both in Philadelphia and
Missouri,
you know, Missouri and out of state. And people would sit there and go, well, how the heck does a Philadelphia firm, you know, get a duck boat case in Missouri? And
the clients were educated clients. We had handled duck boat cases in Philadelphia. When the Missouri duck boat catastrophe happened, the clients were smart people. They looked online. They did their research. They recognized that Bob Mongaluzzi and Drew Duffy were the people to hire in the case. And Bob and Drew worked hard, quickly, and did a remarkable job on behalf of their clients in one of the most tragic cases we've ever handled.
Oh, just incredible. And so we're going to get in. We're definitely going to get into that. And we'll take a couple minutes before we go to break. I want to talk about client expectations. You don't get where you're at without meeting those expectations. But some of those qualities and some of those important expectations get set at the beginning. Talk about, like we said, insurance companies don't just roll over, and it could be, it's not, you know, could be, you know, a year, maybe 2 years till something comes to fruition. How important is it? And I'm sure this very room that we're in, where you have a family, you know, they're stressed, they're absolutely devastated. But you need to set expectations for what they, you know, what they can expect, the time frame that it could take, so that you can set them up for success. Talk about that.
I mean, I never promise a result ever. The only thing I promise is that we're going to use all our resources and the talents of our lawyers to answer the questions that they have, to put people under oath and ask them all the difficult questions, to get all the documents that are necessary and relevant to their case, for us to have them be part of the process if they want to be part of the process. So, you know, especially in a death case where somebody says, I don't know what happened. We're going to get the answers to what happened. And then we're going to work hard to get them the compensation. Bob talked about people never being able to work again. You know, you have a construction worker who was, you know, who was a good wage earner, who felt a sense of identity and responsibility and a sense of self-worth working every day. That person who's catastrophically injured has lost that. And it's important for us to allow that person to be part of the process, to allow that person to understand exactly that we understand what he is or she is going through, and to get them that compensation at the end of the day.
Yeah, and go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of expectations, I think number one, it starts from the very first meeting with the client. And number two, it's about building a relationship. I don't want to be the attorney who is working on a case and then 18 months later or 2 years later, I call the client up and say, hey, we're going to trial, or there's an offer. If there's not a relationship there, and if there's not a connection there.
And communication.
You have to be able to have that relationship, because at the end of the day, you know, when we're getting close to trial, that is usually when settlement discussions may start happening and when the defense and the insurance companies are getting real. So in order to have frank discussions and meaningful discussions with the client, you have to have a relationship.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when I'm talking about expectations, I'm also talking about the fact that this could take some time.
People, without a doubt.
And from day one.
From the very beginning. We have a good sense of where we're going to put the case in suit. There are different places that it takes a different amount of time. In some of the outlying counties, it takes years to get a trial date. Philadelphia, actually, even though it's the biggest county in Pennsylvania and has the most cases, there is at least a management system that puts us on schedules, and we can give the client a good sense of how long it's going to take. But we do deal with that expectation in the beginning. We tell the client from the beginning, this is going to be a fairly long process. Please understand that. And we communicate with the client throughout. We let the client know, here's what the deadlines are. Here's who's being deposed next week. You have the right to come if you want to come. Here's what we're doing. Here's what's going on. So they understand what's going on. They understand how hard we're working. And as Bob said, they're not surprised, oh, you have a trial coming
up. Well, and that's really interesting because the part of that experience, and that's exactly what I'm getting at, the fact that you set them up for success and let them know how this is likely to go, utilizing the experience here because you've seen so many things and the communications. Okay, having people, you're, in a sense, you're not just setting somebody up for success, you know, as far as an attorney-client relationship, but also the client themselves from not self-destructing during the process.
That's right. They've never been through anything like this. Right. Now, we do this every single day. They've never been through this. So our clients are going to be deposed, have their deposition taken. We take the time to prepare them for that so they understand what they can expect. They can understand the types of questions they're going to be asked. So they aren't blindsided, so they don't feel that they haven't been told exactly what's going to happen, and they understand the expectations going in.
And as part of that process, the communications, obviously such a big, vital part of it, you know, that was going to be the next, you know, so we're going to blow through the break, because just like we did the last show, but the communication level being vital, not wanting to be that attorney that calls them up after a year and a half and says, oh, by the way, you know, but also that bedside manner. You know, how important that is during these catastrophic cases. I find it, you know, all these qualities that an attorney has to have, a tree in the, you know, always in the middle of the woods, if it falls or somebody here. Well, I say that because it can be a great, you know, legal mind, but you have to have so many different, you know, faces. You know, you must obviously have the intellect and the experience and all those things, but also the bedside manner to be able to sit with somebody who just lost a loved one. And I got to say that even in my position, you know, doing radio shows, doing a 9/11 show, and a friend of mine was lost in 9/11. We were having his sister on. I literally had to talk to my partner right before the interview and say, listen, just give me a minute here, because even though it was 20 years ago, this was just recently. How do you handle that type of situation when you know the family's coming? You guys are, you know, top attorneys, all those things. But now you have to have a different type of quality when that family comes in, the sensitivity and empathy. What is that like, especially in your area, Larry, where you're bringing, you know, you're the managing partner here. You know, you have attorneys that are meeting people on a daily basis who've lost somebody or catastrophically injured. What's that?
It goes back to what we talked about a few minutes ago and the culture at our firm. I mean, we hire people, we have lawyers and our staff who are empathetic to people, whose hearts go out to our clients. So it's, you're right, it's not just about taking depositions.
Being a competitor.
It's about working hard and understanding what our clients are going through and being able to communicate with them and feel for them.
Is that something you just talk about?
Yeah, I mean, it's about being able to talk to people and actually hearing them, listening to them. You know, at the end of the day, each client is different. You know, there are some clients who want a text message. There are some clients who want a call or an email. There are some clients who say, you know what, I know you're working hard. I don't want to know every single step because it's a little too painful for me.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to understand what it is the client wants. Almost all of our clients, if not all of our clients, what they want the most is to find out why this happened and to hold those people who caused it responsible.
And let me interject also, in many cases, to prevent something like this from happening to anybody else again.
Okay. So, and I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to the Lawyer to Lawyer Network, the Saltzman Galluzzi Bendeschi Hour. Larry Bendeschi, managing partner, is our guest, as well as Bob Zimmerman, partner here at the firm.
Jane, I'm sorry to interrupt, Bob, but I think
it's a great point. It's a great point.
And which leads me to the point where every time, I've said this 100 times, I'll say it again. When I'm in my house and I hear a truck outside going beep, 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 I know that truck's backing up, okay? And having said that, change happens in the courtroom. A lot of that change happens because of the attorneys in these offices. These are the types of cases that you're not only generating an outcome for the client, but you're changing often the law and the standards of individuals so it doesn't happen to somebody else. How important is that? How much does that give you fulfillment when that happens? And you know that you're not only seeking justice for somebody, but at the same time, making sure it doesn't happen to somebody else.
It is remarkably gratifying. Listen, I think trial lawyers have a bad name throughout our society. I think there wouldn't be seatbelts in cars if it weren't for trial lawyers. Hospitals wouldn't be as safe if it weren't for trial lawyers. Construction projects across America wouldn't be as safe if it weren't for trial lawyers. And I'm proud to say that we're a big part of that. Bob and I handled a case, a tragic case, a few years ago, where a 24-year-old woman was riding her bike in the streets of Philadelphia. She was in the bike path. She was crossing. Riding her bike up Spruce Street. She was crossing the street. A trash truck made a right-hand turn, didn't see her, struck her, and killed her. And as part of the settlement of that case, and we got a great compensation for her family, but it was important to them. They were a great family. And it was important to them to make sure that the streets were safer in light of Emily Frederick's death. And so as part of the settlement, we required that Gold Medal Trash Truck Company, Gold Medal Trucking, included instructions on urban driving and interactions with bicyclists. They had to hire an independent safety consultant who implemented recommendations on safety. There had to be safety training for all of their drivers. There was 26 new safety policies that were put into that company. Emily's parents came and spoke to the drivers about the devastation of somebody's inattention or negligence, what it could cause. And that company became safer, and their drivers became safer, and the streets of Philadelphia became safer because of the actions that we took and Emily's family took in not making it just about the money, but making it about safety for people after Emily's death.
And going back, Larry, you talk about the clients and their desires. And, I can't imagine what Emily's parents and family went through.
Of course. But
what I admired most about them was, it could have been very easy for them to just have the emotion of anger. But they were able to work past anger and get to a point where they could not only look at themselves and their daughter's accident, but the rest of the city, the rest of the biking community in Philadelphia. And more important than the money in that case were those things that Larry talked about, those safety changes that company put into place. And each year, we still communicate with the company. Each year, the company is required to make donations to local Philadelphia organizations committed to bike safety. So, you talk about, what we do and why we do it. It is so gratifying when you have a client, like we did with the parents of Emily, who share our philosophy, and we're able to turn such a horrific tragedy into something positive for the community.
And I'll tell you, Larry, you make an interesting point. You get a bad rap. One of the reasons I think is because just simply the PR that the insurance companies do.
Of course.
And the advocacy part of what we do right here includes that. I'll tell you something. So I did a podcast. It wasn't even on the air. It was a guy running, an attorney, a personal injury attorney running for judge. And somebody called me. It was like a week before the election. And the FCC wouldn't allow us to air the broadcast. So we used it for his website. And in the broadcast, a personal injury attorney, a small firm, but he said to me, I'm not sure I'm proud of what I do. And I said, you're not sure you're proud of what you do. I said, anybody mention a contingency fee agreement? Okay, and the fact that you allow individuals, regular people who've been wrong, injured at the negligence of someone else, in major league in insurance companies, dealing with these situations, and you do it for no out of pocket cost. Sometimes
right.
For 3 to 4 years to seek justice for your client. I cannot think, and I'm not joking when I say it, because when I sit here right now, okay, in these offices, and it every time I hear about the contingency fee agreement, I get goosebumps on my own, and because I can't believe, and that doesn't mention the vetting of the case and the experts that you hire and the investments in your case. They don't talk about those things
You're
when
so
they hear
right.
about it.
You're so we represent regular people. We represent people that can't afford to pay a lawyer $1,000 an hour or $1,200 an hour. And we are proud to take the risk on behalf of our clients and to front all those costs on behalf of our clients. Bob and I had a case that went to trial last year that we put $725,000 into that case. And we ended up settling that case for $24 million on the fourth day of trial. But there was no guarantee we were going to get that money back. And we were willing to do that. Our client would have owed us nothing if we lost that case.
Right. And there's no out-of-pocket costs for the, for the client.
Yeah, I mean, if we were to handle our cases and our clients like the insurance company and charge on an hourly rate,
right.
Our clients wouldn't have the availability to seek justice. So the contingent fee agreement and being able to take on the risk for the client it's a great responsibility, and it allows people to actually seek justice for themselves and, again, for their community. We've never charged a client out of pocket to represent them. If we investigate a case, not every single call that comes in ultimately is going to be a case. We have the responsibility to vet them, to really investigate them, and for cases that you come to us and we investigate and we hire experts. If we tell you honestly that there isn't a case to be had, you're not going to owe us a dollar. The experts that we've hired and paid for, that's on us.
Yeah, and talk about the vet. So let's actually get into some of the the actual case type situations. Vetting the cases before you even accept the case. Okay, before you bring it on, you will investigate that case. It could be pretty extensive.
It takes months. It takes hard work. Thankfully, we have a team approach here because I don't think one person could do it themselves. We have multiple attorneys. We have staff. We hire investigators. It's our job to find out what happened. And we do as much as we can before filing a lawsuit to figure out what happened and why, so that when we actually go into court, we can put a document together and file it and say, this is what happened, and these are who we are holding accountable. It's a very real responsibility, and a lot of the work in a case it goes into it before you even file a lawsuit or you step into the courthouse doors. So the vetting, the pre-suit investigation, that can mean the difference between, a case having the evidence or not. And I'll give you one quick example. We were retained to represent a catastrophically injured individual earlier this year. And we got the call 28 days after the accident. And it was an accident on a public roadway. And we were able to hire an investigator who went out to the scene the following day and went to neighboring companies in the area. And they were able to retrieve accident footage, the video of the accident. And that store owner said that their system, every 30 days, it erases. That's just their loop, their process. So if we didn't get that call on the 28th day, if we got it on the 32nd day, that accident video may not ever have seen the light of day.
It might have made the difference whether you were able to take the case or not.
It will absolutely make a difference in how the case goes. Yes, no doubt about it. And, you know, getting an attorney involved early, because I'll tell you, the other side, they have an attorney involved early on all of their cases. They have response teams who, for big accidents, they are on the scene that day.
I mean, I've heard situations where somebody, somebody gets in an accident, the insurance company, play it nice, it could be the other insurance company representing the negligent party, will call up and ask a question as simple as, how you feeling?
They might go to the hospital room. We've had clients who've had insurance carriers and adjusters go to their hospital room and ask them questions while they are under medication and while they're awaiting surgery.
But when you're looking, when you're vetting a case and you're looking at it, and I had an individual, and it happened to be an iron worker. I got a call from the business manager, was Kevin Boyle at the time, and he said, we have a guy who had an issue with an elbow, had surgery, the whole deal. He had a work comp case, and the comp case was accepted, but he was having a hard time getting a personal injury firm to look at it. The guy swore the doctor, was a big doctor at one of the big institutions, was the reason why. And, you know, called three or four firms, nobody would take the case. Finally, I got a guy who's a friend of mine who told me, it may be a case, Joe, but by the time we get through this entire thing, there'll be nothing left for that particular individual. And in other words, there's a lot of factors in vetting a case. You have to almost be right in estimating and looking at the impact of that, so that the client understands, obviously what the situation. By the way, it changed the guy's life, because he was devastated, thought that he was getting the wool pulled over his eyes. And when I told him, and it made sense to me, there's a lot of different factors in accepting a case. And part of that has to do with, the outcome, this potential outcome that you think you can secure for the client in compared to all the vetting and all the experts and all those things.
Well, I mean, it goes back to what we talked about a few minutes ago, client expectations.
Right.
And we have to we believe in being transparent, being upfront. We tell our clients exactly not only how long a case might be, but what we're finding as we're investigating.
Yeah.
The last thing I want is for somebody to go, wait a minute. I thought you were going to, it was a slam dunk. No, here's what's going on. Here's what our expert has to say. Here's where your venue is. Here's historically what the verdicts are in Montour County or Lackawanna County. We have to be upfront with our clients so they know what's going on.
And that's important, because even with the national reputation that you have, okay, and the success that you have had, yes, you get a lot of attorneys refer their cases because they know you are going to do a great job and all that. But you also, word of mouth is important, and educating. So I could tell you that, I'm sure that a lot of individuals, that you get cases from previous client referrals.
So many.
Okay. And so that goes both ways. So in other words, if you're educating somebody on the vetting process and on why you think, on what's going on, peace of mind to somebody, whether you take the case or not, and educating them in the process. I'll tell you this right now. For this individual, it was life and death. He was starting to come apart at the seams. And, you know, it's an injured workers program we have with labor. And, of course, you know, they have, you know, different work comp attorneys or whatever. But the iron workers always send their cases to Mongoloosi. And so, having said that, this guy literally changed his life in giving him peace of mind. It would have been great if he had a case, but even I felt better for the guy. And having said that, the case vetting process is such a big part of it.
With that said, Joe, I mean, we've handled a lot of cases that other lawyers have rejected those cases, many cases, where we come up with theories that somebody else didn't come up with, where we hire an expert that somebody hasn't thought of.
Sure.
We believe in doing everything we can do to represent that client. And that includes spending the money or looking at theories or digging deeper in order to represent the client.
In some cases, it must be like, you know, seeing the forest through the trees, looking at something,
right.
and having, because you're right. Some attorneys will look at something, there's nothing there. Right. I mean, how many cases have turned out to be big cases when somebody else took a look at it and didn't really take a look at it.
The case that Bob and I tried last year settled for $24 million. Another firm had rejected that case. And I'm not being critical of that other firm. We just looked at it a different way. We thought we could put it together. We did end up spending over $700,000 in putting the case together, which for almost every other firm is something that they're not going to do.
Right.
But we said, we're gonna take a chance to represent this person and work hard to represent him.
And that means, you know, I might imagine when you're in that process, once you're all in, you're all in.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and you know, you're sitting there, you're making the decision. Then imagine how many clients, how many firms can spend $700,000 on a case, but I probably can't count on even on one hand. Like, in other words, it's the far and few between. Making that decision is a huge responsibility. I was doing a little research on, I mean, you guys have had some astronomical recoveries. And we have a couple minutes left in the broadcast. I'd like to, kind of touch on that a little bit, because it's a staggering type of situation. I've got at one point $227 million in construction accident recoveries. That's a mind-boggling.
No, that was just that was one case.
I mean, it was that one case, because I was looking.
That was the Market Street, the Salvation Army case.
The Salvation
Army. Resolved for $227 million.
Well, there you go, right there.
We've had over $1 billion in recoveries on behalf of our construction clients.
I mean,
All you're telling me,
Larry, is when we go to lunch, Bob is buying. It's on you, Bob. Having said that, we're not just going down to Salad Works. But that's a big deal. Obviously, it's a big deal. But it's important in a success type situation, so people understand, that they're in good hands. You got one shot at this, man.
That's right.
And I can tell you. And maybe not in a personal, but I know a number of people, especially recently, and it wasn't in personal injury, where picking the wrong attorney, and it would be in personal injury, could be the difference in your entire life.
I got a call yesterday of an injured worker who called me, and he starts talking about the case. And he says the accident was 4 years ago. And first off, I'm thinking to myself, all right,
statute
of limitations. And then he says, well, I had an attorney, and I went to trial, and we lost at trial. And my attorney made some decisions and lost a few rulings, and I'd like to appeal. It turns out, his appeal is due in a few days. He still has other attorney. And I said, listen, you're represented. You should talk to your attorney. Have them do what they can for you. But you're right. I mean, I don't want to be in a situation where someone I know makes the wrong decision and, ends up having, their life turned upside down financially because a recovery couldn't be made for them. I mean, when you talk about construction workers, when you talk about the types of cases we do, the breadwinner or the person who is financially supporting the family, they cannot work anymore. And it's not only devastating for them, but it's devastating for their family. And it's devastating for their personality and how they think of themselves. Imagine going to work every day for 20 years and then never being able to do that again. It changes you. We take our responsibility very seriously.
Yeah, Joe, we do this every day. We handle construction accident cases every day. And there'll be times where family is doing a vetting process. They're going to meet with multiple lawyers. And I had a case a couple weeks ago where it was a family friend who wanted to represent the family. And I said to them, well, how many construction cases has he handled? Well, he hasn't handled any, but he figures he can figure this out. I said, look, let's say you had a tumor in your brain.
Yeah.
All right. Would you go to the doctor who says, listen, I can figure this out? Or would you go to the person that's handled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of brain surgeries?
Absolutely. You want to go to a specialist.
And I'll give a compliment. We have tremendous relationships with a lot of attorneys who refer us cases, and they are very good lawyers. They do great work for their clients, but they don't handle the types of cases that we handle. And, you know, to Larry's point,
they can't handle. They just can't.
And, you know, there are some attorneys out there who will give it a shot, who will try.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, as Larry said, it's your one shot. And, you know, you don't want to be the person who is, you know, figuring it out with your lawyer, having the lawyer figure it out. And, you know, to our referral attorney's credit, you know, they're thinking of the client. You know, they're thinking of getting this person to the right attorney because it means enough to them. And it means enough to the client that someone who has handled these types of cases and has the experience and the resources be able to represent that client.
You don't want somebody sitting there going, it would be great if we could hire this expert, but I just can't afford it.
That's right.
And the next thing you know, the case and the client suffers. Gentlemen, this has been literally the fastest hour in radio. We're going to do, I can't wait till, this is a monthly broadcast that we're going to do. I cannot wait till we tackle all the topics. We can't get them obviously in one show, but I just want you to know I'm ecstatic about doing this broadcast with Saltz, Mongoluzzi, and Bendesky. I think that the public is in for a great treat. We're going to educate, we're going to advocate, and hopefully there'll be some lives out there that are changed because of it. Larry, about 30 seconds, if you would, some closing words, and then I'm going to go to Bob afterwards to just ask you what your expectations and goals are for the show.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it. We think it's important that the people of the Delaware Valley are educated on not just what we do, but they have to think about if they have a catastrophic injury to a loved one, think about hiring somebody that knows what they're doing, whether it's a medical malpractice case or a construction case or a product liability case. You're right, Joe. They got one shot. And they have to choose wisely.
Absolutely. Larry Bendesky, a managing partner here at Saltz, Mongoluzzi and Bendesky. A couple minutes, Bob Zimmerman, a partner here at the firm. Your goals for the broadcast?
Mainly to be with you, Joe.
First of all, I'm gonna edit that and show my wife that there are people that want to actually.
And seriousness, you know, I've done this with you a couple times. You're a great person to have a conversation with, and this feels like a conversation, and it's like that because you know I think you know the type of people we represent. And I think you know some of the stories, involved in our cases, and every time I speak with you, the interest that we have, the passion we have, you share it. So thank you for doing this. And I know it's a big part of your life and we appreciate that.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm excited about the broadcast and what's to come. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the Lawyer to Lawyer Network, the Saltz, Mongoluzzi and Bendesky Hour. We look forward to coming to you every month. We want to thank Larry Bendesky, the managing partner here at the firm, and of course, partner Bob Zimmerman for being great co-hosts. And of course, we want to thank everybody for tuning in. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening.